Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. For even though you walk through the darkest valley, and in the shadow of death, fear no evil, for I am with you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you. For if you belonged to the world, it would have loved you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world. For this time I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. For in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Speaker, not that he needs an introduction, Dr. Rice. Of course, I know most of you, all of you know Dr. Bill, and man, what a message he has for us tonight. I'm very excited that we were able to get this video. We need to thank Chris Miller up at the ranch. He worked real hard over the last couple days on just being able to get it uploaded to us. We could have this last night, and of course, you're familiar with the ranch, I imagine, how thankful we are for everything that the Bill Rice Ranch does, for our partnership with the ranch. Sponsor children to go there, and of course our prayers for this pandemic to end so that our juniors and our teens can once again go there this summer. So right before I pray and turn over to Dr. Bill, I just want to say a quick comment here. This is unusual times that we're living in. I mean, this is the building right now that we call church, and this is Easter, this is Resurrection Sunday, and there's nobody here. I'm all alone. That's what's happening right now all around the world. Pastors preaching to empty auditoriums and people at home watching. I saw last night for us, this morning, for our friends elsewhere, where Pastor Zach was able to give a Easter message and upload it around the world. It's amazing this time of technology that God has allowed us to live in, and I'm so happy that we are able to get these things to work, that we can get it out, that we can still continue to fellowship, even if online, until we return. But that's the question. You know, the building is not the church. The people are the church, and we would all agree on that. But I've spoken to so many of you in the last couple days and weeks, and we're lonely. We miss the fellowship. We miss the coming together. And that's why I would ask you here, tonight, when we do come back to this building, when we do sit in these chairs, and we meet again, we have name tag Sundays and finger food fellowship and all these things, what do you expect the church to be? What do you expect to get out of coming here? And that's what Dr. Bill has to speak on tonight. And I know you are absolutely going to find this message is wonderful, as I know I did. Well, let's pray. Turn it over to Dr. Bill. Father, Lord, thank you so much for this time you've allowed us to live in. Thank you for this technology that we can broadcast these services, that we can still share the Word of God with each other, that we can get the means out, that we can communicate. Father, I do pray for Dr. Bill and for the ranch. I pray for what they're going through up there through this pandemic, as well as for our people here. Lord, I pray that you would heal our land. Lord, I pray that you would just take care of us all individually with our health needs and keeping this pandemic away from touching any of us. but also that you would be with other health needs that we have, Lord, and I would pray for this country, those that are sick, those that have caught it, those that will. And Father, I just pray for the doctors and the nurses that are working so hard. I pray for our first responders that are out there, our military. They don't get to call in sick. And, Lord, I just pray that you would also protect them. And of course, Lord, as we know your word says, you can use something even as bad as this for your good. And I pray for the good that will come from this in your name. Father, we love you, and we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, happy Resurrection Sunday.
Howdy. Welcome to the Bill Rice Ranch. If you've been here before, you probably know where I'm standing. This is the John Rice Auditorium. It's just one of the landmarks on the ranch you'd recognize, like the rodeo arena, the stables, cowboy town, the cookout, maybe the ball fields, hikes, the back pasture, different things here in the ranch. But the John R. is in the very center of the campground. And the activities in the John R. are in the center of the ministries of the Bill Rice Ranch. I want to show you something inside. Actually, there are three auditoriums here on the Bill Rice Ranch. The John R. is just one of them. Downstairs is the Robertson Auditorium. It seats a little more than 100, and we use it for deaf teenagers and adults. Upstairs in the dining hall is the Weber Auditorium. It seats 250 plus, and we use it for junior age boys and girls, 8 through 12 years of age. And the John R. we use for young people, teenagers, and the youth weeks, and then for families during the family weeks. But I want you to see something special about the John R. Auditorium. Obviously, you've noticed that the auditorium is empty, which is not a shocking thing in this day and time. There are a lot of empty auditoriums and church buildings in our country in this day and time because of the pandemic. But this gives us an opportunity to talk about the importance of going to church. Now, I know what you're thinking. Bill, how can you talk about the importance of going to church? We can't go. Well, I know we can't, but it might be good for us to see what God says about our attending church. It might be good for us to see why he says it, and it might be an encouragement for us so that when we can go back to church, which, Lord willing, we'll be able to do shortly, then it'll mean even more to us. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, the Bible says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So the Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, if I said to you, do you think we should go to church? You probably would say, well, yes, Bill, I think we should. And if I said, well, why do you think that? You probably would reference Hebrews 10, 25. God says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Well, it's true, God does say that, and we should go to church because God says so, but the question is, why does he say it? And you can find the answer both in verse 25, and it's really helped in verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke, this is each other, unto love and good works. Verse 25 says that we are to exhort one another. So, we go to church to exhort and to provoke, to stir up, to incite unto love and good works. Now somebody says, well, yeah, that's exactly why I go to church. I go to church so I can be encouraged, so I can be stirred up, so I can be blessed. But that's not the reason to go to church. You don't go to church to get a blessing. You go to church to be a blessing. And in being a blessing, you will also receive one. Now, how does that work? Well, notice that both in verse 24 and in verse 25, it says one another. So we are to provoke one another unto love and good works. We are to exhort, encourage one another. So how does that work? Well, think of Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 7, where the Bible says, "Don't be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap a life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." A famous passage about sowing and reaping and the law of the harvest. Now, quite often when we think of this passage, we think about reaping for things done sinfully. So that somebody say, you know, you cannot sin and get by with it. And of course, that's true. The passage does reference that. It says, if we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. That is something that doesn't last. Something is not that valuable. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That is something that is eternal. But the passage is not talking about the fact that you can't get away with your sin. It mentions that. But it's talking about the fact that you can't get away with doing what's right. Think of it this way. I'll tell you something, brother, you can't sin and get by with it. Well, that's true. But I'll tell you something else. You can't do what's right and you can't do what's good and get by with it either. Now, often we think it doesn't work. Well, of course, it works when God judges the wicked. But if I do what's right, you know, sometimes I never benefit from it, we think. But that's not true. Don't be hoodwinked. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. What you sow, you reap. And the passage says that we are to take comfort in this well-doing, that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So here's the way it works. I go to church, I'm friendly, I'll reap friendliness. If I go to church and I'm giving, I'll reap the benefits of being a giving person. If I go to church and I'm encouraging, God will see to it that others will encourage me. So we're to consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works. We're to exhort one another at church. And as I do what I should do at church, God will see to it that others do what they should do at church. Suppose you say, you know, the people at our church, they just aren't friendly. Well, what does that say about you? Suppose you say, you know, the people at our church, they just aren't giving. Well, what does that say about you? You see, if you're friendly, you'll reap the benefits of friendliness. If you're giving, you'll reap the harvest of your having given. And so that's the way it works in church. We go to church not to be blessed, but to be a blessing. And in being a blessing, we are also blessed. It's a wonderful truth. The Bible in these two verses mentions three things. It mentions exhorting, or being a comfort, calling near or for a purpose, unto love and good works. Well, of course, we know what it means to comfort. What does it mean to love? This is fascinating. In the book of Romans, the Bible says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth his neighbor is fulfilling the law." And then in that passage, it mentions some of the Ten Commandments. We're not to steal, we're not to cheat, we're not to commit adultery. And then in verse 10 in the passage, it says, "Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." In other words, love, by definition, is doing what's right. When I go to church, I should seek to do what is right, and in so doing, encourage you to do what is right. If you love somebody, you do right by them. A husband that loves his wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, does right by his wife. A man that loves a friend as a brother does right by his friends. Church is a wonderful place for us to practice the business of doing that which is right. And when we do what is right, when we love, then we'll reap the benefits of it. We'll reap the benefits of being loved ourselves. So love and then good works. We're to encourage people unto good works. Now that's interesting. What does the Bible mean when it says good works? You know, a lot of times men do, quote, good works that God doesn't see at good works. For example, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Not ever one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he which doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now let me just stop and say, the will of God to get into heaven is to receive the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ died in my place. I am a sinner, but he paid the penalty for my sin, and he offers to me the gift of eternal life. So if you're doing the will of God in order to get to heaven, that means receiving Christ, trusting him to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Then the Lord Jesus went on to say, "For many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils or demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Then the Lord Jesus said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." Now it's interesting. Here are people who did things they considered to be good, but Jesus calls their good works iniquitous. Reminds me of the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, when some of our works will be burned like wood, hay, and stubble, and others will be withholding in the fire, or they'll withstand the fire like gold and silver and precious stone. Well, what's the difference? How can I preach and yet not be doing good works? How can I cast out devils or demons yet not be doing good works? Well, if you're trying to do that in and of yourself, then that's fruitless. Good works refers to what God does through us. Just like I can't save myself, I can't really do anything that's good in and of myself. But the Lord Jesus can do that which is good through me. I always think of Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I love Mary. I've loved Mary for many, many years. It's not a problem to love Mary. But if you said to me, "Bill, can you love Mary as God loves?" Well, no, I can't. I would be inadequate. But the Lord Jesus and his love through me can be expressed to my wife. So the wonderful truth is, if God, through the Spirit, does through me good works, then that's what he sees as good works. And you know, church is a wonderful place to display good works. You're teaching a Sunday school class, be sure that it's God speaking through you. You're praying in closing, be sure that God leads in the prayer. You're talking to people there at church, be sure that God is working in and through you. And it's a wonderful thing. Church is a wonderful thing. What a great invention. You go to church to provoke people, to stir people up unto love and good works. You go to church to encourage people. It's just a wonderful thing. And as you encourage and as you stir up unto love and good works, you yourself are blessed and are stirred. Now we come back to where we started. You say, "Bill, that's all wonderful, but I can't go to church this week." And no, you can't. And that's one of the reasons we're meeting like this. But you can keep this in your heart and in your mind for the future, so that when you get back to church, you can be what you should be there. Can I make three suggestions for right now? Probably they're the same three suggestions you would make if asked to do so. Let me just make three suggestions. You're not in church, but you can pray. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. That is, don't be anxious. Don't be worrying. Be careful for nothing. What a wonderful time to hear this verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do we have needs? I would say so. Would we have requests? I would say so. We ought to be praying for one another, should we not? So let me just encourage, pray. Make this a time when you pray. This has been a sweet 2 weeks for Mary and I, because we've just enjoyed getting around the Bible and praying every day, and doing so with more time than normally would be afforded to us. So pray. Number two, give. If you think of Galatians 6 again, Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running together, shaken together, and running over, shall men give in unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. People don't give because they have. They have because they give. So you might say, well, Bill, you know, I don't have my job right now. I don't have an income right now. And that doubtless is true for many that are listening to me right this moment. But remember the simple truth. You don't give because you have. You have because you give. Give, Jesus said, and it shall be given unto you. I always think of the widow who gave her 2 mites. You know, she was a widow. Jesus said that she gave more than all because she gave everything that she had. She gave from her own poverty, her penury. She was an amazing lady. She gave everything she had. Perhaps you've given much, but I doubt that either one of us have ever given everything that we have. She did. Well, if she gave everything that she had, how did she exist? Well, I believe she lived by faith. She believed that if she gave, she would receive. And indeed, that's exactly the way it works. So I understand you may not have as much as normal. That's fine. But remember the simple statement, you give to have, you don't have to give. So pray and then give and then communicate. What a great time to talk to people in the church. Use your phone. I suppose Mary and I have been on the phone more in the last 2 weeks than we have been in the last 2 months together. And we use the phone a lot, but it's been great just to check in with people. Just yesterday, I talked to 2 friends, one in Pennsylvania, one in Washington State, just to see how they're doing, and both were a blessing and encouragement when we spoke to them. So pray for people, give, and then get in touch with folks. You know, it might be good if you just pray for a friend, then call him up and tell him you'd prayed for him. That'll be an encouragement to him. That'll be a blessing to him. It'll be an encouragement to you, and it'll be a blessing to you. We can't meet in church as God intends for us to. We'll be able to, but we can't right now. So in the place, let's remember things that are important. Among those things important would certainly be prayer and giving and just staying in touch with people. God bless you. Hopefully we get together maybe like this again in just a few days. In the meantime, remember the wonderful truth that we are to provoke one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God bless you.